Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp. Before we examine the last chapter of Sefer Yirmiyahu, I wish to return to the epilogue in the previous chapter, chapter 51. We skimmed the surface of chapters 50 and 51, in which Yirmiyahu foretold the downfall of Babylon and presumably the fate of any nation that persecuted and oppressed Am Yisrael. We learned that Yirmiyahu had received these divine messages just as Nebuchadnezzar had begun his campaign of conquests when he inscribed them on separate scrolls that were later appended to his sefer. As indicated in verses 59 and 60 of yesterday's chapter. Hadavar asher tziva Yirmiyahu navi et Seraya ben Yirdia ben Mechasya בלכתו את צדקיהו מלך יהודה בבל בשנת הרביעית למולכו וסריה שר מנוחה. ויכתוב ירמיהו את כל הרעה אשר תבוא אל בבל אל ספר אחד אל כל הדברים האלה הכתובים אל בבל. According to the Targum, Seraya was the confidant of the Judean king and had entrance to his chambers when he was resting. Hence, Sara Menucha. And thus the English translations call him the king's chief quartermaster. As a trusted advisor and friend, Seraya may have escorted Zedekiah on a trip to Babylon, or he was sent as ambassador of Zedekiah. Radak, on the other hand, opines that Seraya was Sar HaMenucha, which is equivalent to Sar HaMincha, and was entrusted with the gifts and tribute that the kingdom of Judea was required to pay to the Babylonian overlords. While pretending to be a loyal subject, Zedekiah was already fomenting a plot with the emissaries of neighboring nations to rebel against Babylonia. Abarbanel takes note that this event, recorded at the end of this sefer, occurred much earlier. It was necessary to clarify that this scroll was written even before Babylonia had attacked Jerusalem. Just as Yirmiyahu had foreseen the devastation of his homeland and the suffering of his people, he had also foreseen the return and revival of Judea after 70 years. Moreover, he was already informed of Hashem's vengeance against the brutal empire that wantonly shed so much innocent Jewish blood. Babylonia, like its predecessor Assyria, was an instrument in Hashem's hand to punish Am Yisrael for their sins and to prod them to repent. Both empires exceeded their mission and sadistically indulged in arrogant barbarity, enriching themselves while crushing their subjects mercilessly, and therefore they were doomed to fall. Yirmiyahu was appalled at the excessive cruelty displayed by Babylonia and prayed that Hashem would avenge the blood of so many innocent lives. You will recall how in chapter 10, Yirmiyahu demanded that Hashem pour out his wrath on Israel's foes, whose cruel sins far outweighed any of Am Yisrael's iniquities. שפוך חמתך על הגויים אשר לא ידעוך ועל משפחות אשר בשמך לא קראו. Pour out your wrath on the nations that don't know you and on the families that don't call on your name. Hashem answered the prophet's prayers by revealing the end game for the oppressors of Am Yisrael. But it was not a revelation to be shared with the people of Yehuda. Yirmiyahu could not share Hashem's assurances that he would avenge the bloodthirsty excesses of Babylonia while cajoling the Jews to submit and repent. He could, however, write down the prognostications about Babylonia and the other nations who had persecuted Am Yisrael. In the interim, the prophet continued to hope and pray that the utter destruction that ultimately befell Yerushalayim could be averted if the Jews would only surrender and sincerely do tshuva. Nevertheless, the prophet tried to smuggle out a message to the exiles already languishing in Babylonia, that the end of the suffering will come if only they will remain true to Hashem and not lose hope. In the closing verse of chapter 51, Vayomer Yirmiyahu el Seraya, Kevoacha Bavel, Veraita Vekarata et Kol Advarim Ha'ele, ואמרת, השם, אתה דיברת אל המקום הזה, להחריתו, לבלתי היות בו יושב, למי אדם ועד בהמה, כי שממות עולם תהיה. והיה כחלותיך לקרוא את הספר הזה, תקשור עליו אבן, והשלחתו אל תוך פרט. ואמרת, ככה תשקע בבל, ולא תקום מפני הרעה אשר אנוכי מביא עליה. Ve'yafu. Yirmiyahu said to Seraya, as you arrive in Babylon, see that you read all these words aloud. Then say, Hashem, you had promised to cut off this place so that no one will remain, neither man nor beast. Indeed, may it be desolate forever. When you finish reading this scroll, tie a stone to it and cast it into the Euphrates. Then you are to say, in this same way will Babylon sink and never rise again because of the disaster I will bring upon her. And may her people grow weary. Ababinel insists that Seraya was commanded not to open or read the scroll before he arrives in Babylonia. However, none of the classic Pirushim indicates whether Seraya read the scroll aloud in front of an audience or only to a few trusted witnesses who would later attest that the fall of Babylonia had been foreseen. Seraya was directed by Yirmiyahu to pray aloud that Hashem's prophecy would be fulfilled. The reading and the prayers were the initiatives of the man Yirmiyahu and may have been witnessed by his trusted and faithful followers. As we learned earlier, a symbolic act, throwing the scroll to sink into the river, would seal the oral prophecy and ensure that it cannot be annulled. The postscript, Ad Hena Divrei Yirmiyahu, seems to separate the first 51 chapters of Sefer Yirmiyahu from the 52nd chapter, which was added by someone else and is almost a verbatim repetition of the close of Melachim Bet. Abarbanel suggests these words were added by Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, who added the last chapter to emphasize that Yirmiyahu's predictions about the destruction of the kingdom of Yehuda were fulfilled. In chapter 52, we read a recap of the destruction of Yerushalayim by the Babylonians and the fall of the last king of Yehuda, Tzidkiyahu, and find a few minor variations from the narrative in Melachim Bet. After chronicling the siege of Yerushalayim, which began in Tevet of the ninth year of Tzidkiyahu's reign, we are told in verses 6 and 7, by the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine in the city was so severe that the people of the land had no food. Then the city was breached, and though the Chaldeans had surrounded the city, all the men of war fled the city by night by way of the gate between the two walls near the king's garden. Rabbi Yosef Kara notes that we fast to commemorate the breach of Jerusalem's walls by the Romans, as they destroyed Jerusalem 7 centuries later and burn the second temple in the month of Av. As has been recorded earlier in chapter 39 of Sefer Yirmiyahu, verses 10 through 11 recount that the Chaldeans captured Tzidkiyahu and his entourage and brought them to Nebuchadnezzar, who was encamped in Rivla. Vayishchat melech bavel et bnei Tzidkiyahu leinav, וגם את כל שרי יהודה שחט ברבלתה. ואת עיני צדקיהו עיוור. ויעשרהו בנחוש שתיים, ויביאהו מלך בבל בבלה, ויתנהו בבית הפקודות עד יום מותו. There at Riblah, the king of Babylon slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and he also killed all the officials of Judah. Then he put out Zedekiah's eyes, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon, where he kept him in custody until his dying day. Then we read in verses 12 through 13, ובחודש החמישי, בעשור לחודש, היא שנת 19 שנה, למלך נבוכדרצר מלך בבל, בא נבוזרדן רב טבחים, עמד לפני מלך בבל בירושלים, וישרוף את בית השם, ואת בית המלך, ואת כל בתי ירושלים, ואת כל בית הגדול, שרף באש. Now, in the fifth month, in the tenth day of the month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzradan, the captain of the guard, who stood before the king of Babylon, came into Jerusalem. He burned the house of Hashem, the royal palace, and all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great house by fire. Rashi explains that every significant structure was put to the fire, as well as Kol Bait Hagadol, which refers to every shul, every synagogue, and Beit Midrash. Rabbi Yosef Kara explains that we fast on the 9th of Av, when both temples were destroyed, and not on the 10th, as indicated in these verses, and not on the 7th of Av, as indicated in Melachim Bet in the 25th chapter. He cites Chazal in Masechet Ta'anit, who explained that the Chaldeans entered the sanctuary on the 7th, ate and drank and desecrated the Beit HaMikdash, looting it and defiling it for 3 days. And before the sun set on the 9th of Av, they put it to the fire. It continued burning through the 10th of Av. In the continuing verses, we read of additional waves of banishment. Throughout the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, he took multiple captives to exile. But after Nebuchadnezzar's death, Jehoiachin was brought out of prison and finally treated with deference by the Babylonian successor, as indicated in verses 31 through 33. Vayhi b'shloshim v'sheva shana legalut Jehoiachin melech Yehuda ב-12 חודש, ב-25 לחודש, נשא אוויל מורדך, מלך בבל, בשנת מלכותו, את ראש יהויכין, מלך יהודה, ויוצא אותו מבית הכלא. וידבר איתו טובות, ויתן את כיסו ממעל הכיסא המלכים, אשר איתו בבבל. ושינה את בגדי כלאו, ואכל לחם לפניו תמיד, כל ימי חייו. In the 37th month of the captivity of Jehoiachin, the king of Yehuda, in the 12th month, in the 5th and 20th day of the month, Evil Morodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, raised the head of Jehoiachin, king of Yehuda, and took him out of prison. He spoke kindly to him and set his throne above the thrones of other kings with him in Babylon. He changed his prison garments, and he ate bread before him all the days of his life. Thus the beginning of Yehuda's redemption was heralded, as was the onset of Babylonia's decline. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmat Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bat Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.